Baptize Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai, and might I add, also its only goal. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I will be hosting this segment called Morning Glory. On the sound console is audio engineer Brother Sunil. Thank you for staying with us on this yet another very pleasant Thursday morning here in the ashram. Today is the 4th of July 2013. Talking of 4th of July, here is wishing all our American listeners a very happy Independence Day. May your nation, along with all other nations in the world, move towards greater peace, harmony and happiness and concern for the well-being of all life forms. And may the independence we all seek in life begin with atmic independence, where we recognize ourselves and all others as the pure divine Atma. Just imagine the possibilities for peace in the universe if we all began from that premise. Over here in Prashanti Nilayam, India, we express this sentiment as Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu and wish the same for all our listeners, especially Americans today. God bless America and God bless the entire universe is what we pray for here at Radio Sai. On this American Independence Day, we are coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, where the time right now in our studios is 9:41 a.m. Current weather conditions in Prashanti Nilayam continue to be quite heavenly. Today and the rest of this week, we will have lows of 24 degrees Celsius and highs of 33 degrees Celsius. The weather department is calling for some lightning and thunder activity through the week, but the chance of precipitation is moderate. We are actually hoping and praying for a good monsoon drench about now. The sky is overcast and the divine giddying breeze of Prashanti Nilayam continues to blow freely here. July is a very important month in our ashram calendar as Guru Purnima generally falls in July. This year it will be celebrated on July the 22nd. And what better way to celebrate the life and message of the Guru of all Gurus, God Himself, by singing His glory and living out His message. The recent tragedy in Uttarakhand in North India is weighing heavy on many hearts. As you may be aware, thousands are reported to have perished or stranded due to the Himalayan tsunami that hit the region recently. How are we, the children of Sai, responding to this natural disaster? I will bring you all those details right here on Morning Glory next Thursday. So please remember to tune in. Today on Morning Glory, we have for you part 2 of the Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview with Baba's student, Mr. M.R.K. Prasad. He is in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishop Prushti. After this interview concludes, I will bring you some music that was presented to Bhagwan Baba by his devotees from 12 Russian-speaking countries on November the 25th, 2005. And you really wouldn't want to miss it. But first, let's conclude the conversation with Brother M.R.K. Prasad, an alumnus of Baba's University.
When and how did you get into Vidyavahini? What inspired you to get in?
See, I saw my two kids studying at home. I asked my elder daughter, Lalitya, what are you studying today? She gave me an answer just 2 days before exam that she says I have 20 marks questions around 10 and 10 mark questions around 30 and 5 mark questions around 50. If I study these, I'll be able to write my exam. And going by the statement, I was terribly depressed looking at, you know, questions being studied and just vomiting in the...
So you're studying only to just answer a few questions?
For exam. Then I asked her, okay, you are studying something, one question like this, monopoly, which subject is this and which lesson is this? She's unable to answer that. She says, oh, no, my teacher has given this questions. I have answers for this. I'll just cram it and put it in the exam hall. I'll come up with flying colors. I need 70 marks for this subject, and I'm sure I'll be able to do it because I just have around 50 questions to study. And if this is the way that education system is there
so
today.
It just boils down to only learning by hearting.
Learning by rote method.
By rote method.
Yeah, this is where the present education system is losing contact with the subject. They are only on to the exam orientation and nothing else.
So this is what you saw in your daughter.
Yes, I was terribly...
Each class
she was studying her 12th class.
Oh my God.
And I understand she doesn't know the basics of the subject. This really put me off. I thought, okay, we should do something on this. And I saw Vidya Vahini just unfurling that time. And this is the right time that I had to pitch in for not only my family's development, but also for the entire country.
And that was a trigger.
Yes, that's a trigger that it really made me understand that there's a lot of need for irrigation system to change. And I also see, when I was trying to talk to my younger daughter, tell her about a lesson called North America in social studies, I taught her three times. But she said, no, I'm not able to understand this. What are you talking to me? Third time, when I could not impress her by giving the entire subject matter of that lesson, I was wondering what is wrong with my, is it wrong with my explanation or she is not able to receive it? Both are wrong. So then I understood that, you know, there should be some interesting activities or some day-to-day elements. She cannot study North America with the mountains there and the Mississippi River there and Amazon River there. So she is not able to place herself on the map. If you ask her where's the Mississippi River on the map, she's not able to understand at all. That is where we need to bring in lot of interesting asides to her. Lot of activity that they can bring to their desk, and it's understood in such a way that she feels interested in the subject. I think that is where Vidya Vahini lesson plans are different. So much of activity. They are giving the day-to-day. Why should we should study North America, say, climatic conditions today? So how is it relevant when you are sitting in India? She asked me, why should I study algebra?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it relevant to me at all? And why am I breaking my head on this? Then, yes, that's again, the answer is Vidya Vahini. How can you relate a topic to your daily life is where lesson plans and Vidya Vahini are able to help. These are the triggers for me to join Vidya Vahini for my personal development, my family's development, so that it can definitely help others.
So that is what really motivated you to,
yes.
You are thinking about all this and then Vidya Vahini happens.
Yeah.
So you just get into it.
Correct. And I also understood that the need of the hour today is a value-based society. When two sisters fight for a remote control and they injure each other, what type of society that we are living in? And when I talk to my daughter about it, and when they give me answers back, and I'm not able to justify that, what type of society are, what type of family are am I living it? And how, where are we progressing?
Yes. This is a country where, if you look at the siblings in the Ramayana, for example, you had Rama who just gave up the throne, and then Bharata comes, and Bharata is not willing to accept the throne. He goes back to the forest, he requests Rama, you know, he just offers it to Rama, and only when Rama says, okay, I accept being the ruler, but you know, you just rule the kingdom for me for 14 years. I mean, you saw the height of sibling love and sibling is the feeling of one for the other. I mean, that is where our culture comes from.
That's right. And we have so many, you know, negative things happening in front of us, and we are mute spectators to all this. I think there should be change in society. And who else that can do that? I think change should start from our own self, so that we can be the change. And get the change done in our own, first within ourselves and within our family and to the society at large. This is how I thought I should make a difference in the society.
Wonderful. And now you've got into it in such a big way.
That's right.
Then you mentioned that it takes away almost 2 days of your week entirely. So how do you manage this?
See, we program every Saturday, Sunday much ahead. We have science huddles in one Sunday, social studies huddle in another
By
Sunday.
By huddle, you mean all the people involved in that particular subject?
Science subject will have subject experts, teachers, and subject coordinators coming and sitting together and generate lesson plans.
Yes.
So, three subjects, we finish off in all the three weeks. And then the fourth week, we have a summary done, see how much progress we have done for the month, and then go back with a review plan of action for the next month. This is how we occupy ourselves. And even for my family members, my wife also looks at EHV content development. Both the daughters also are totally, they understand, lesson plan creation, suggested activities.
Okay.
They also work for different activities that they can bring in from internet and help the teachers here.
Wonderful. So you said it has been your experience that if you do Swami's work, Swami does your work.
Yes. See, imagine I am here for the Kausa Vidya Vahini. Last entire week we were in Kodaikanal trying to understand how do we train teachers, and we developed different modules of training for the content generation teachers and recipient school teachers. We spent lovely moments in Kodaikanal in Swami's ashram, brought in numerous instances of making the content valuable. So that, we can take it forward. Now, imagine 7 days there and 3 days here, 10 days, I am out of office. But then, I only believe in Swami's, how Swami spoke to us, saying that you do my work and I'll do your work perfectly well. That's what happens. My boss said, when he gave me work and said, go ahead to Calcutta and come back on 2nd and 3rd, and with very humbly I told him, sir, I have a training program in Kodaikanal. He didn't have 1 minute also to think about it. He just said, okay, go ahead, I'll deputate somebody else for Kolkata. It so happened that, Swami has been guiding entire Vidya Vahini so well that each and every aspect of Vidya Vahini, of course, we are one of those aspects, and Swami is taking care of us in such a lovely way. We don't have any problem in terms of making things better.
Wonderful. So, somehow your professional work gets done. It's taken care of.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. See, I'll also give you another interesting thing. All through my life, I had been dealing with people. I had been dealing with numerous students. I had been dealing with teachers. I, coming from university background, I communicate with most of the teachers and students. I have been dealing in teams, making teams work over the past 12 years. And the same work is being reflected here in Vidya Vahini, where I bring in teachers, bring in IT volunteers, talk to them, make teams, make the teams work, get the work out of them, and then show it up in reviews and plan for next action. See, I don't find any difference between my office work and Vidya Vahini work.
Okay,
both is almost similar and
yes,
related
to
each other. So I'm bringing my experience of professional experience into Vidya Vahini. I'm very happy about that.
Yes. And I guess even your experience in Vidya Vahini must be getting rubbed off in your professional work.
See, Vidya Vahini gives a different angle.
Yes.
Where I can learn from Vidya Vahini and put it into practice in personal experience also.
Yes. Wonderful.
One of the best things that happens to me is the time management.
Mm-hmm.
Rigorous work in office will clear off by the weekend. That stress is down because I do Vidya Vahini.
Okay, it's become kind of a stress buster.
Yes, stress buster. And with Vidya Vahini training program, sitting from morning till evening and stress developed, I go back to office completely in a different format. So I have total stress busters from both of them. And if these two are becoming too much for me, I go back to my samiti work.
Oh my God.
So weekends, my samiti also waits for me for different meetings and different programs that need to be done, budgets to be developed. So I spend my time very actively on the weekends. And my travel is also quite high in my personal experience. Still, I take time out, go all the travel, come back to Vidya Vahini and again onto Samiti Act.
There is not a moment to rest. Change of work is rest, as Swami said.
Change of work is rest, exactly. And, I feel so good about the entire thing because I'm managing my time. See, once I had a little bit of upset in my health and some 1 week time I had to rest at home, I was feeling terrible because I'm wasting time. And when can I actually go back to work, get into the work for Swami? If I'm sick, I'll not be able to do anything. So when I'm up and kicking, I think I should be doing all the work.
In fact, that again reminds me of an instance from the Ramayana, where Hanuman, when he takes that leap to go to Lanka, and as he is flying across the ocean, the mountain comes up, Mainak mountain comes up, and the mountain presents itself before Hanuman and says that, you must take rest, give me that opportunity that I'll be of some service to you, and you know, so that I can also participate in Rama's work. So why don't you rest for a while on the mountain? Because you are on such a huge mission. And Hanuman says that to rest when I'm engaged in Rama's work is a sin.
Exactly. That's what I feel also. You should never rest when you are in Vidyavahini. Once I think Swami was telling us, you know, when does the clock rest? Clock is always on going on seconds and minutes and hours. But do you think even the clock can rest? People said, when you stop it? Then Swami said, no. Between the seconds, from 1 second to another second is rest.
Oh yes, yeah, I remember Swami saying that.
Yeah, so between the flights, between the different activities that I do, is my rest. That is how I feel. There's so much of travel, so much of work at home and work at Samitis and work at Vidyavahini. Between them is what I feel is rest.
Wonderful. So let me now go back to something which perhaps you cherish in your hearts, because now you're being so involved in Vidyavahini work, and it all comes down when you think deeply to your days in Bhagwan's University. I think those are those moments which always connect you to Swami. Connect Vidyavahini is perhaps another way through which you get connected to Swami. So let's go back to those days. Because I think those were those formative years in your life.
Yeah,
your school years.
When I joined in 79, the very first batch of Prashant Niram campus, we were the very first batch, so we just were around 160 students in the extension of East Prashanti campus here, hostel campus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you didn't have the hostel.
Yes, did. Yes. 79, 80, we were in the extension of East Prashanti. Swami used to just walk into the hostel, sit with us and chat and talk with us and, you know, bring us such a loving memories of those days. And without Swami in those days, it's just not thinkable at all. Morning, we get up and see Mandir and have Swami's darshan, rush to the Mandir as and when possible, have numerous padamskars. every day, morning, we used to count how many padamskars we had taken.
Oh my God.
10 in the morning, 10 in the evening.
Oh my God.
So that is an excellent experience that we had in the first very batch, and Swami used to talk to us.
Because you used to stay so close to Mandir. The building still exists where Bundan boys stay whenever they
come. Morning darshans are fantastic for us, and we go back to the college, come back in the afternoon, have lunch, and at that time sometimes Swami is outside, we have another darshan. Evening, 4 o'clock, college is closed. We come back rushing only to just have our wash and go back running to Mandir and sit with Swami. And Swami spends enough time with us, cajoling, joking and talking to people and giving answers, giving solutions to people. So much of enjoyment that we had in the very first and second year. Then slowly, when they moved the hostel to the present existing campus now, the intensity rose so much that we used to wait and long for darshans. We used to walk all the way and dash into the Mandir and sit in front of Swami. Very, very good experience that we had. And Swami had spoken to each and every student that time, that he, because we are a very less in number. So there is a lot of interaction with Swami. When I became homesick in the very first week, Swami came and touched me and said, when I remarked, Swami, I am having a fever, Swami just said, no, it's just 98.3, don't worry. And just before 10 minutes, when Dr. Alreja saw me, I was running 1 or 2 temperature.
Oh.
And Swami just touches and said 98.3. I go back and show it to Dr. Alreja. He says, yes, 98.3. Swami said it has to happen.
Wow.
Okay. So such small things had given us a lot of faith in Swami. Though we were devotees for generations, my great-grandfather has been a devotee of Swami.
Oh, is it?
My grandparents had been devotees of Swami.
Oh, my God.
My father and mother got married in front of Swami. Swami only created the alliance. And we also are devotees. And my children, my eldest daughter is...
So it's like fourth or fifth generation.
Yes. My eldest daughter is studying in Anandpur campus now.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we are quite happy that way. Very, very contented. Swami is taking care of all the entire family that way. we are in Swami's fold. That's the epitome of our success.
That is the only thing that adds value to our life and adds happiness and joy to our lives. So, you were mentioning about those days and the beautiful interactions that you had with Swami. Is there any particular instance that comes to your mind?
Yeah, there are so many instances. One, Swami is distributing Chinese shirts to the boys in the mandir. And sitting next to me was a huge guy, and he got a small size shirt. And I got my own medium size shirt, but then this guy got a very small size shirt, and he's bulky. And he equipped Swami this very small shirt. And Swami just said, give it back. When the boy gave it back to Swami, just Swami pulled it in four sides and gave it back to him, and it's fitting him correctly.
Oh my God.
Can any manufacturers of shirts do this? They had to put extra cloth. So many instances that we saw.
I mean, every day you saw these things happen in Swami's presence.
And there are so many instances where we saw one boy asking for a dollar. When Swami asked him, what do you want? And this boy asked for Swami dollar.
Is it? What sort of a dollar you want?
Those days, Swami used to create $1 where one side it is Om, other side it is Swami's picture embossed.
Okay.
And this guy says, Swami dollar, and the other person who's sitting next to him also asks for a dollar. Swami just picks up one small petal of flower and blows it on it and gives it to him, and it's a dollar.
Okay.
And other person also gets a dollar. And they both compare the dollars, and they see on $1 there's Om, but there's no dot on that Om.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of the Om, there's a small dot.
Yes.
And that's missing another one.
Okay.
And they're terribly worried. Other guy who didn't have a dot, he comes back and tells Swami, I don't have a dot. What dot Swami is equipping? And this man says, my Swami, on the womb, I don't have a dot. Swami just takes it and blows it again, gives back to him, and it's there. So these are, visiting cards of miracles that keep happening, so that,
at that age, you would have made a very deep impression and developed the faith in Bhagwan's love.
And Swami used to joke with us continuously. Once I asked Swami, my parents had come. He used to tell me, okay, your parents have come. Go and give them aarti, give a garland, welcome them. Swami, this is like...
I mean, the whole intention of you telling is Swami calling for an interview. So Swami is just joking and telling, okay, very nice.
Go, finally, he gave the interview to my mother. Okay. And we are four brothers. All four of us studied in Prashant Nilayam campus.
Who is it?
At one point in time, in 1980, 26 of our cousins, of all our family members, are studying in Swami's colleges.
26?
Yes, Anantapur campus, Prashant Nilayam campus, and Vrindavan campus.
Oh my God, this is phenomenal.
These three campuses were having 26 of our cousins. And if you look at it now,
such a Saifel family.
Yeah, my daughter will be the 28th of my family.
Oh my God.
That's a blessing that Swami gave to our family that way.
Amazing. I mean, there is a treasure chest of moments with Swami, I think, in his physical presence and even after that.
Even now in Vidyavani, when I have a difficult call to make, go to a school where I need content generation teachers and I need to talk to the principal, I just pray Swami before making call and say, Swami, please help. This school is important for us to make a presentation in the school. And that's it. When I talk to the principal, she never used to come online. And she comes online and talks to me. My approach to the entire problem is, as though I am speaking to Swami, is my approach.
I think I'm speaking to Swami only.
That's it. And it happens. It happens that line connects and she accepts. We go to the school and make a presentation. When some teachers come in, 30 teachers in the school, some 5-6 teachers will be interested in Vidyavani. They come and participate in training programs. They write lesson plans. There's reviewed and corrected, and we give back to them, saying that any modifications are there to be done. They do it and give it back to us. We upload and show them the uploaded lesson plans. They are quite happy. And the principal also gives a very positive reply to us from next time onwards. They are quite contented with all those. So the way that we need to approach a problem is only Swami.
So little ways. I think in your daily life, you constantly feel His presence in these little things. Amazing. Now, before I come to this, I want you to go back to your days with Bhagwan, because I think those were the, if I'm right in saying, the golden years of your life in one sense, where you had the physical proximity of Swami.
I'll give you one example. You know, when we were 160 students in the very first year, and then it slowly rose to 200, 240, we moved on to the new hostel, and one day I was talking to myself, you know, whether, okay, we're all here, we're all looking at Swami, but does Swami really know me in person? Once I gave a letter to Swami, and Swami didn't take it. Morning darshan, evening darshan, he didn't take it. It went on for 5 days. Sixth day, this letter got crumpled, and I got frustrated, because Swami is not even taking my letter, but just being next to him, being with the closest proximity, he's just standing next to me, but when I tap his hand, ask him to take a letter, he doesn't take it. It's really paining, you know. We get frustrated because, you know, I'm not able to reach Swami after being so close. Then I tear the letter at the hostel, vowed never again to give a letter to Swami. Came back, and the next day morning, and Swami sees me and says, offers his hand, where's the letter?
Oh my God.
So such instances used to happen, and then genuinely I felt, you know, does Swami really know me in person? And one day Swami walked into the hostel with a poet from Nellur, where I belong to. Swami said, Pichai Sastri, do you know Babu Naidu? He asked him. Babu Naidu happens to be my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And when Swami is asking about this name, I said, why Swami is talking about Babu Naidu? And I waited for Swami's response. Then other person, the gentleman, Pichai Sastri, is a poet. He said, yes, Swami, I know him. He has a very affluent family in Nellore, and I know him personally well. Then he showed me and said, this is the grandson of Babu Naidu.
Swami said that.
And I was stunned to see this happen in front of me. When I was there, one day before, I was thinking that Swami, does Swami really know me?
And you had never mentioned to Swami anything?
Never. And Swami showed me and very clearly said, my father's name, he said, Babu Naidu's son, Ram Babu's son is here. And that man saw me, and I was delighted to have this conversation right in front of me. So it's nothing like Swami doesn't know anybody.
I think from that day you'll not have any doubt whether Swami knows anything about me or what I'm doing.
I used to be very active in PA system, adjusting mics to Swami. So we had lovely time in, say, 80, 81, 82, those days where I used to assist Dr. KBR Prasad in making PA system better. All the entire Purnachandran auditorium, we changed speakers, we changed systems there. That time we were just about to come to Kulwanthal. That time Kulwanthal is not named by that name. So in the Mandir we had erected so many speakers, and all the functions are being taken care. The entire PA system is to be managed by us, just three of us. That has been a lovely opportunity for me to go nearer to Swami, adjusting Swami's mics, and tell him, Swami, is it okay? And Swami said, yes, good. That was very rewarding for me those days. I used to be in the electricity department of the hostel. So we had a maintenance room called Radio Shack. We used to call that Radio Shack, and we used to go and do all those electrical maintenance activities in the hostel. Come back to Prashant Nilayam Mandir. We used to have those series bulbs done up around the entire Mandir.
For festival occasions.
Dashara, Deepavali, and even birthday time. We used to have a fantastic time, because, you know, we used to be in the Mandir, on the Mandir, and go nearer to Swami. So Swami used to come and see how much finished work, and come have something today. Swami used to personally serve us apples and mixtures, and used to personally serve us, make us sit in the line and give so many goodies. So all those days are really memorable. When I was going out of the portals of the university, we had a group interview of the BCom final year students. Then we asked Swami, so many people are coming, and tomorrow when we want to come back here, it will be so difficult for us to come and meet you up, Swami. How do we come back to you and relate? Me as a Sai student, how can I come back and talk to you, Swami? Then Swami said, don't worry, I'll give you my visiting card. And he created his visiting card for all the 32 students of our final year students. Each one, I still have it. I still carry it.
So he created 32 visiting cards?
Yeah, I still carry it in my pocket.
Wow.
So though Swami said this is the visiting card that I am giving you, so nobody can stop you. For any work, when you are coming back to Prashant Nilayam also, this is the visiting card that I am giving you. So many instances like that, you know, he had been giving us, reposing our faith in Swami.
Wonderful. And are there any instructions of Swami that, you know, you carry always with you from the days when you spent in the university?
See, once it so happened that one of my close friend had written his exam and failed. And this has been carried to Swami. Swami was told that this boy is not able to pass in the exam. And Swami called him specifically and made him sit in the mandir and said, you must write your exam well. And he blessed his pen. He gave Padmaskar and said, go and write your exam well. And after the exam, the mid-semester exams, he completed well and he came back. He was happy that he could write exam well. But he forgot about this Padmaskar and Swami blessing pen. When the professor called up this boy and made him sit in mandir separately that he could complete his exam well, Swami came and saw this boy and said, oh, you are the one whom I blessed you. Ultimately, you completed your exam good. So then he said, you know, maybe your mother might forget you, but I will not forget you.
Swami said that.
So the intensity of love is so high those days, we can never forget those moments. And there's so many instances like that, you know. Swami directly interacting with us, coming in our dreams, telling us, instructing us, giving us so much of advice just so that we can carry out his work. Excellent days that we had.
Wonderful. And you were also mentioning something about Swami's instructions that you received about watching movies.
My father approached Swami sometime back in 80s. That he would like to construct a theater, a movie theater. Though Swami doesn't approve of this, but then my father's yearning was so high that, okay, he had blessed it. But then sometime in 82, 83, when I was studying here, Swami called me and said, don't see movies. To me, specifically. I asked my warden one day, when I was sitting in the veranda, see, when a butcher doesn't get afflicted by the sin, how should I get it? Because just because I am exhibiting movies, I should not be cornered like this. And this man couldn't answer me. He directly went and told Swami, Swami, this boy is asking me like this. Swami came running outside. He rushed outside and directly came to me and said, you don't see movies. This is the instruction given to me. But Swami said, nothing, no questions asked, you don't see me. Nowadays movies are all negative thoughts and negative emotions. Don't get into this. It spoils your mind. And he advised me so much, and the instructions are very, very clear that I should not see movies. Further to that, I went back to my hometown, and that irresistible temptation of seeing a movie was still lingering.
You always had that.
Yes. My parents and my relatives, most of them are into the cine field. The production of movies is something very normal for them. So when I had this inclination to go see the movie, I somehow stopped for some time, but then very familiar movie and I wanted to go see. I waited till the second show, late night, and then at around 11:30 or so, I went inside and sat in the theater to see the movie. I see Swami's picture in the movie.
Swami's picture
in that movie, particular movie. And I say...
Like a devotional movie?
No, it's a latest movie and a normal commercial movie. And I see Swami's picture in that movie. It's just not possible. I said, okay, this is not on. And I came out.
So you left halfway?
Yeah, I just came out of that movie. And I said, I should not look at this. Then I told my father, you know, there's a Swami's photo in the movie. And I said, no way it can happen. And the next day, my father went and saw the entire movie. At that particular instance, there is a Swami's photo in the movie. There is a Swami's photo. And imagine my plight. I had to go to that second where Swami's photo can be seen in the movie. So I said, okay, this coincidence. I am mistaking it that Swami is looking at me. So after some time again, I felt this urge to go and see the movie. And the moment I went and sat in the theater, power was off.
Oh my God.
Okay, and then again I said, okay, this is again Swami seeing me in a physical proximity also is able to look at me and trying to guide me not to see movies. Then again I waited, some 3-4 days passed away, and again I washed it off saying that this is also coincidence, and again I went a third time, went and saw, trying to see the movie. I just opened the doors and sat there, power was off, correct, but then the generator also conked off. So there's no way that I can see a movie for that day. So this is the third instance. And I came back from there and Swami immediately quipped, who went home and saw the movie? Swami asked us.
After this vacation ended, vacation, then he came back.
And he saw everybody, some people lifted, I also lifted. And he even came to me and told the movie name that I'm trying to watch. I said, don't see movies. This is clear instruction. Then, okay, Swami doesn't want me to see movies. I stopped. I thought I'll stop. Subsequently, after marriage, naturally the pressures will be high that, you know, there should be some entertainment. So I tried watching a movie with my wife, and when we are driving towards the movie theater, we had a huge accident.
Oh my God.
He said, okay, again, Swami is telling me that I should not watch movies. So constantly he guides. He is very wary of safeguarding my movements. Again, sometime later, I tried watching a movie, and the moment I put my hand onto the ticket counter, the tickets got get over. The moment I put my hand and said, I gave money and said, give me the tickets, they said, it's closed. So this happened twice, that I'm not able to even get the tickets. Come back home without getting tickets to the movie theater. So these are happening. So I said, then I said, okay, Swami doesn't like me to see movies, I had to stop it. And till date, believe me, till date, I had never watched a movie in a theater.
You have not watched?
No way.
Oh my God.
Ultimately, I had to close my cinema theater in my village. That's also closed. So I don't have an opportunity to see a movie anyway.
That is a fantastic advantage of having a Sadguru as your divine master. You know, he not only tells you, but he is there at every step with you to safeguard and see that you follow.
Yes. Imagine at this time, with the latest technology that we have, even if I want to see a movie, by chance, somebody tells me that review of that movie is very good, and why, how come you didn't watch? And I open my iPad with my Wi-Fi on. If I wanted to watch a movie, Wi-Fi conks off. Even today.
Oh my God.
Even today I cannot watch a movie.
This is something really interesting. I know it's almost been an hour since you started talking, and I really wanted to you to share more about how you have been feeling Swami's presence. I mean, this is the way it is. Every day you feel him, how he's safeguarding you, and how he's ensuring that. And your energies, he's so clear about it, that your energy should be diverted only for his work.
See, I don't have any other activity other than Swami's activity apart from my personal life. I had dedicated this because, you know, some 3 years back before Vidyavani started, I was actually whiling away time, wasting time talking to friends, going to relatives' houses and doing nothing. You know, I used to feel that regret used to be there. You know, I'm not doing anything for Swami. Though we go for bhajans, it's just half an hour to 1 hour's time, and I don't carry any great responsibility for Swami. I used to always have this feeling in me. And once Vidyavani started and Satyajit had come and presented Vidyavahini during our alumni meet, then I actually started off, you know, bringing in more and more people, because I was into this building teams. So when I went back to Hyderabad, we had our first inauguration of Vidyavahini in Abhyasa School in Hyderabad. Myself and a few of our Sai students, alumni, brought in as many as 70 students to this first meeting ever. Then I was actually looking at who can be the right person to lead this team from Hyderabad, from Andhra Pradesh. We brought so many good students, you know, who were supposed to be leaders in those times when we studied, but none of them volunteered. None of them came forward and said, okay, I'll take up this responsibility. Though in the survey form they ticked and said, I would like to do coordination work or communication work. But none of them actually turned back and volunteered for the work. And, you know, it so happened that, you know, nobody was left. 70 students, at the end of the time, day, we saw that nobody came forward.
To really take over as the in-charge for the entire state.
Not only in-charge, even the small actors, science coordinator, subject coordinator, social studies coordinator, nobody is coming in. So with great difficulty, I used to only pray, Swami, Swami, who is there for science coordinator out of these people? And suddenly, I used to visualize one guy, face. And I said, okay, maybe I talk to him. And he tells me, brother, I was actually waiting for your call.
Oh my God.
And that is how science coordinator Raghupati had come in. And Kishore Mohan brother, who has run his MSc mathematics, but he wanted to take up social studies. There's a conflict. And again, I prayed, Swami, Swami, what do we do with this situation? Should it be science, or should it be social studies, or should it be maths? And somehow something struck me, saying that you are MSc in mathematics, you must be in mathematics only. So he has stuck to mathematics. social studies we have another brother called Bhargav. So all these people, right from the day when they had been understanding what is Vidyavahini, went to so many training camps, the methodology, we'd been seeing this for the past 3 years. Now it's evolved into an activity which is their daily life.
Their daily life.
So all our coordinators are, they do nothing other than Vidyavahini. Most of them, I have subject class coordinators, subject coordinators, subject reviewers, experts, all of them are only into Vidyavahini.
And I think it gives a lot of fulfillment because you are ultimately engaged in something which Swami was so passionate about, and you feel this is some way you can offer. You can never ever offer anything Bhagwan for whatever he has done for us, but in some way at least you feel that you are contributing something towards his mission and being in some way his instrument.
That's right. And schools like Bharati Vidya Bhavan, schools like Devi Public Schools in Hyderabad, they come forward.
These are non-Sai schools and normal mainstream schools.
Yes, and they come forward when we go and approach them and say, okay, utilize my teachers for their self-development. Every Saturday, Sunday you can come here and take classes to them. So we start off with EHV, Education Human Values, and give them some motivation lecture. Brother Dinkar Kadam from Hyderabad, Kota Sivakumar from Hyderabad, they come and give them some lectures. Further to that, we take experts in training, Saidal sister in Hyderabad, Jayalakshmi sister in Hyderabad, they all are from Anantapur alumni. They come forward and they do a lot of training modules for the teachers. That is how we are able to manage the entire show. As I told you, some 35 people who are dedicatedly working for Vidyavahini from Hyderabad and Vaisak from Andhra Pradesh are able to do their work.
Wonderful. So I think the whole calendar is always on for Vidyavahini. Every week is booked. And it's really very interesting. When you think of it, you probably would have never imagined when you joined Swami's college in 1979 that, your life will pan out in this way.
One feeling that we have is we are doing for Swami. Yes. And another feeling that I have is whatever I have got education from the portals of SI, instead of higher learning, I'm able to give it back to the society.
Yes.
And our skills and potential, whatever we had till now by Swami's grace, is being utilized to the best extent possible.
Absolutely. I mean, when Bhagwan gave us everything, it was absolutely unconditional. Be it education, be it love, be it protection, his grace, everything came to us free and unconditional. And now, if in some way we are able to give it back to society, I mean, to giving it to Swami means giving it to society. And if you're able to do that in some manner, I think that is what gives you a sense of really purpose in life. It's wonderful, brother, talking to you. Thank you so much for coming to the studios. It has been a long session, and I know the Vidyavahini Principles Conference is still going on, and you should be sitting there, but you took time off to come and share your thoughts. I'm very grateful. Thank you very much.
I'm very happy to be here. I thank Swami and thank Radio Sai team for calling me here and sharing my thoughts with you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Sai Ram, and welcome back, dear listeners. That was the concluding part of this two-part conversation with Sai alumnus, Mr. M.R.K. Prasad. In case you have missed part one of this conversation, which was aired two Thursdays ago, that is on June the 20th, you can find it at radiosai.org/Sai Students or under Thursday Live Archives of June 20th, 2013. Your feedback is very important to us. We always like to find out how you feel about Radio Sai programs. So please go ahead and send us an email at listener@radiosai.org. Now moving along, our Prashanthi Nilayam, as you know, is the melting pot for all cultures and traditions or spirituality and religiosity, an open invitation for seekers from any background. And over the decades, we have had thousands and thousands of musical and dramatic presentations take place here. One such presentation was a moving choir from the 12 Russian-speaking nations. What it meant to them to come all the way to India and offer their songs to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba is something I would like for you to hear directly from the group. Here then is the presentation from the Russians offered in Prashanthi Nilayam on November the 25th, 2005.
Beloved Bhagavan, 280 Russian-speaking devotees from 12 countries are grateful to you for this unique opportunity to sing in Russian of our devotion to you this evening in your divine presence. This will be the most treasured moment of our entire lives. With prayerful pranams, Om Shri Sai Ram.
Жителя нашего Спасителя на семи небесах, на семи небесах.
Бога Вседержителя нашего Спасителя на семи небесах, на семи небесах.
Нашего Спасителя, Духа Утешителя, имя свято века, имя свято.
Yeah. Bye.
Sai Ram, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Morning Glory. We look forward to your feedback. As always, you can email us at listener@radiosai.org. Now, before I hand you over to Brother Raghu, I request you to please reflect on the affirmation to make our hearts sanctuaries of God's love and light, and remember that God is a silent invigilator watching over us, and like a doting mother, God is waiting for each of us to finally transform ourselves into bundles of positive energy. You and I do have the power to spread joy, love, understanding and compassion by our thoughts, by the choice of our words and our actions. Let nothing hold us back from living out our divine destinies. As I leave you with that thought, it's time for me to offer morning glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet. So dear listeners, thank you for your company. I hope the rest of your day continues to be filled with Baba's presence and love and protection. Please be well, keep seeking and do whatever it takes to stay positive and inspired till we meet again next Thursday. Sai Ram from all of us at Radio Sai.